play back an interview with Trent Tanking here in just a moment, K-State linebacker. He'll give you an update on who is in that linebacker competition along with him. Sam Mellinger at 5'10 from Big 12 Media Days. That was a great conversation. O.J. Simpson is the big story today nationally. He had his parole hearing on national TV all over the place. And it sounds like as early as October, he's going to be getting out. This is just one of those that I have a hard time generating much care for. And I think it does have something to do with the generation that I hail from. I was born in 1989, so, I mean, I obviously have no recollection of O.J. Simpson, the foot five. Like, I was too young. And the only thing that I really associate O.J. Simpson with is watching the O.J. Made in America documentary series from ESPN. And then the People, what was it, The People versus O.J. Simpson, the TV series that was on FX there for a while. I watched a lot of both of those. And so I just am not tied to it because it was the big issue of the times and there was so much more to it at the time that it was all happening than just the aspect of is he guilty, is he innocent? Plenty of racial undertones and a lot of other things that went into them, which those documentaries do a great job of going through and displaying, but it's an interesting story, but I'm like, okay, I saw the documentary, I get it, that's all happened. Unless O.J. Simpson is coming out to tell us that he actually did do it, then I might be interested. Here, he's just getting released after parole hearing for stealing some memorabilia. Like, I just, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, well, it's like walking into a movie with 30 minutes left and watching the end of it. And everyone is freaking out about the end of the movie. That's because they understand it because they were around for what the first, you know, hour and 30 minutes of the movie were. And we weren't back in 1994 when all of this happened. It's just, like, I know it's a big deal. I'm seeing people talk about it. I personally don't really know how to feel because I didn't have any emotional attachment to what happened back then. So I watched the announcement and I, you know, watched his reaction, but I didn't feel good or bad or happy or sad or mad. I didn't feel anything because I didn't know how I was supposed to feel.
Yeah, there's no emotional attachment for us, and the only lens that we have really, I guess I should stop speaking for both of us because I don't know how much you watched of the two things that I just mentioned, but like the only lens that I really know O.J. Simpson through is what was shown to me in a dramatized TV show where they go into a lot of the characters involved in the story and then the documentary. And I think no matter what, if you are just taking on those two entities to try and tell the story of O.J. Simpson, there's going to be an aspect of whether you want it to or not, it's going to glamorize the whole situation. And it's just hard for me to then go to a place of like, okay, well, this dude may have done some really, really horrible stuff. Like, it's different than being around when it was happening and seeing the first initial reports and knowing who he was. And all I've seen is just Cuba Gooding Jr. playing him, you know, as O.J. Simpson in The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. Like,
that's it. I hope that when he gets out, he doesn't live his life publicly. I would like for him to just fade back and you know, find somewhere to live and not be all over the news for the rest of eternity. Because I heard somebody talking about today, actually on the Dan Patrick show, they were talking about how, oh, well, a reality show just has to happen out of this. There's going to be an O.J. Simpson reality show. I don't want any more of that, you know, shoved in my face. What happened here, whether guilty or innocent or whatever, you know, two people died, and I just want this whole thing to, you know, fade away and he can live his life.
Yeah, I just don't care. I wouldn't be interested necessarily by an O.J. Simpson reality show, but I don't think I have, like, strong feelings to be like, oh, that would be an outrage. You're just not going to find me leaning really one way or the other on this thing. I'm going to keep living my life without paying too much attention to that. Again, we'll talk with Sam Mellinger at 5'10". Hear our conversation with him, that is, from Big 12 Media Days. Right now, though, Trent Tanking, also from Big 12 Media Days, K-State linebacker, now a team captain His life has changed a whole heck of a lot in the last year. There's no doubt about that.
You know, coming in here, Frisco, representing K-State is definitely a change from last year. You know, last year we had three upperclassmen at linebacker, so I was looking at more of special teams in a backup role. And now that those guys have graduated, they're looking for me to, you know, step up and be that guy. So it's definitely changed, and it's, you know, nervous going into the season, but definitely excited to show what I can do.
Pressure? Is that the correct word for you guys at linebacker?
Yeah, I think the pressure comes from being able to make the right calls and be able to align everybody else in the right spot. But after that, I think it's, you know, just play ball. And I felt like I have a great understanding of the defense. So as far as that pressure comes, I think it's alleviated a little bit just being, you know, that much more comfortable with the defense. So it's just kind of more excitement and nervousness a little bit.
Who else right now would you consider to be right there with you in the mix to play at linebacker?
We have a lot of guys. You know, you have Jade Kirby, a senior, that's you know, done a great job. You have Sam Sizelove, a junior who's played and then done great for us. You got some younger guys, Elijah Sullivan and Justin Hughes. You have and then some even more guys coming in that you know, could compete and try to, you know, battle it out. Daquan Patton is coming in from a JUCO who has a lot of athleticism and a lot of potential. So there's a lot of guys that that can compete and play, and we're just looking for the best two guys to be out there.
Talking with Trent Tanking here on the game, with Daquan Patton, how much did the injury really set him back, do you feel like?
It set him back a little bit, but I think he had a great spring, you know, up until that injury. But he, you know, is coming back. His deal is he's got to learn a lot and a lot of stuff in a short period of time. And, you know, I've been helping him. He's been asking me a lot of questions. So I think it really forced him to push the issue as far as the mental side of the game was concerned.
You brought up Justin Hughes there. We were looking at, it was like an ESPN list of the funniest guy on each top 25 team, and it came up with Justin Hughes for K-State. Would you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, he's just a wild card, man. You're never sure what he's going to do next, and, you know, most of the time you find yourself laughing with him. So, yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
What about the defense as a whole? How do you feel like the defense is shaping up for 2017?
I think we have a lot of potential to be, you know, pretty good defense. You know, you have two starting D tackles returning with the third guy that played a lot last year in Ray Price. And anytime you have that, it's a great feeling for the linebackers, you know, because those are the key spots to be able to hold those guards. And then you have DNs returning. I have a lot of experience: Tanner Wood, Davis Clark, Reggie Walker. And then you have the, you know, central core of our defensive backs that are returning and are still young and going to be juniors now, and Kendall, DJ, and Duke. And then you have Cree being able to, you know, doing a good job at nickel. And then you got the safeties trying to replace Dante. But I think, you know, all coming together, I'm really excited about this year.
Being a defender in the Big 12, and we're talking about Trent Tanking, by the way, do you take offense to the fact that the Big 12's reputation is that there's, like, no defense played at all?
I don't necessarily take offense to it. I just think it's misconceived, you know, just because how high-powered the offenses are and how fast that they go. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions that just because, you know, score a lot of points that there's not any defense being played. Well, that's not necessarily true. You know, a lot of passes being thrown means there's a lot of interceptions that go with it, and, you know, those can turn to points really quick as well. So sometimes a lot of points doesn't necessarily mean bad defense. But you know, I think this year our main goal, as it is every year, is to be able to stop the run and be able to prevent points being scored on us. Touchdowns, you know, field goals don't win games for teams, especially in the Big 12. So that's going to be our job, and I think that's the job or the expectations of most teams in the Big 12.
From your standpoint, I mean, there's so many offenses that run the spread, some variation of it. Which one do you think is the toughest to prepare for?
There's a lot of tough variations, like you said, because, you know, West Virginia has kind of a two-back variation, and then you have Texas Tech, who just likes to swing, spread it out, and fling it. So I mean, I don't know if there's necessarily one that's harder than the other. It's just different, and it keeps you on your toes. And there's definitely similarities with teams, which helps, because, you know, if a certain team the week before plays the same type of spread as the next week, you know, then you kind of just have to worry about the personnel. But there's not necessarily one that's harder than the other, in my opinion.
Well, Trent, appreciate you spending some time with me here. Safe travels back in Manhattan, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
There's Trent Tanking, K-State linebacker, whose coach speak game strong, on point. You got to have that, I think, to be a team captain. He's got it.
You notice that K-State always brings very good speakers to Media Days.
Well, typically the policy is to bring the team captains.
And normally the team captains are good speakers.
Sam Ellinger at 5:10, our conversation with him from Big 12 Media Days. It was great. He'll tell you who he thinks K-State should key in on to be the guy after Bill Snyder. When we come back, we'll see how much attention our friend Grant, who's filling in for Mitch today, has been paying to the thrilling college football offseason here on The Game.